Listen, we're so thankful that you're here with us. I love those songs this morning.
I did. Sing
you,
it again.
You all, the Lord just really blended that with our message today.
Yeah.
Welcome and thank you for joining us sinners who have been redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. It was great. We're thankful that you're here with us this morning at MCC. You see what I did there? Thankful.
I'm catching what you're throwing down.
It's Thanksgiving Sunday. You thankful? What about the others of you?
You know, I can tell you I'm thankful.
It is. Listen, it's Thanksgiving Sunday, and we're thankful that you're with us. And speaking of Thanksgiving, do you know why you don't put the dessert next to the turkey at Thanksgiving dinner?
No, but you're going to tell me, aren't you?
Yeah, because it'll gobble it up.
You guys are encouraging him.
They told me to stop all these Thanksgiving jokes, Jeff, but I can't quit cold turkey.
No.
No, that's funny. I don't care who you are. I can't quit cold turkey. Oh, well.
Woo.
Pastor Jeff.
That's why we take 25 takes to get through one take of informer.
That's right. That's right. Pastor Jeff, let me share this scenario that I think most, if not all of us, have heard before or even experienced before. We wake up one morning and we begin to survey our life. Up at the same time every morning, shower, get dressed, grab a Pop-Tart on the way out the door. Same job, drive to the same job to do the same work day after day after day. Then we go home or go to work. We come home, we eat, we pay bills, we sleep, repeat. And then we lift our eyes and our hands toward heaven and we say, surely there is more to life than this.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
A lot of people have been there. Maybe you have too. We pick up the paper, we turn on the TV, we listen to the radio, we browse social media, and it's the same old, day after day after day after day. Political chaos, wars and rumors of war, national debt, murders, suicide, shootings, and we muse to ourselves, surely there has to be more than this. You know what I mean?
I do. I know exactly what you're talking about. But you know what, Pastor David? That's not only true of our spirit, of our lives in general, but it can also be true of our spiritual lives.
That's true.
You know, first off, if you're not a believer here today, and as you go through life, you can begin to wonder, is there more to my existence than simply going through the day-to-day ups and downs of life?
You know, Pastor Jeff, let me interrupt just a second. There, you know, epitaphs on tombstones used to be big in a lot of cemeteries and stuff. There's one epitaph that sadly speaks to too many people. It said, here lies a man who came into this world and went out of it again without ever knowing who he was.
Mm. Yeah.
I wonder how many people that just go through, born one day, live, die, have no idea.
Yeah, they don't know. They wonder, is there more to being in this world than just going to work or getting up and going to bed, eating breakfast? Is there something beyond eating, working, spending time watching TV or on social media? If you're here today and you're a non-believer, I want to tell you that Pastor David and I want to assure you that there is so much more to life than that.
And that's the title of our message today.
Yep.
No outline in your bulletin. We want you to take your own notes, listen carefully, and then just let it soak into your life. We're thankful there is more than this.
Yeah, more than they could possibly imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And but believers, let's talk about the other part of the crowd. The believers, we can get stuck in the rut of our spiritual lives just like our regular day-to-day lives. Check out, I have a scenario for you. You had a scenario.
Okay.
I have one for you. You get up, and out of habit, maybe you give God 5 or 10 minutes of devotion or a few minutes of Bible reading. And then you go through your day, and maybe you say a prayer or two at dinner or at lunch. But you may even just give your children's the dinner prayer, just so it doesn't get too deep at the table. You lay down at night, and out of simple repetition, you may say a quick prayer for God to watch over you and your family. So you wake up the next morning. But then you go through your work a whole week, whether it's a work week or a school week. Maybe you come to youth group or maybe you go to a small group.
Mm-hmm.
because you feel obligated to. I need to. My parents expect me to go to youth group, or, yeah, I am committed to this. I didn't go to small group last week. I better go this week, you know, obligated to.
Or we're going to guilt you.
We're going to get you, yeah. Or, you know, maybe Barbie Johnson's cooking a really good dessert and I want to go this week. So, but then it comes to Sunday. Sunday, you go to church willingly, but not necessarily because you're looking forward to being here or because you need it. You just kind of do it because, well, you know, Sunday. I guess I should. It's the Bible. It's Sunday. I guess church is where I should be. Our spiritual lives can become a routine, Pastor David. Now, none of those things in this scenario, they're not bad things. There's nothing wrong with 5 minutes reading the Bible. Nothing wrong with saying a prayer before lunch. But there's so much more God has in store for us. The funny thing is, as soon as life hits us hard, or you simply get tired of the habits, you begin to wonder, is there something more to this walk with God? The thing is, if all of us are not careful, we can get caught up in those routines and lose sight of the fact that there is more than this.
You're right. Pastor Jeff, you're right, and we all know people around us that we look at and admire and kind of wish we could be more like them, because it's obvious in their lives and the way they live it that they have found something more than just routine, spiritually or worldly. There's just more to their life. And we've asked a few people this morning if they would share a little bit of that, of how did you cross that line from just routine to being more?
Yeah.
What's that more in your life? Where did you get it?
Let them tell
the
story.
We've got a few over here. Who would you like to hear from first?
Well, since the ladies outnumber the men, let's let the man go first.
All right. Patrick. Mr. Patrick, come share your story, brother. Come give us your testimony.
Grab mic there, Patrick.
I'm more of a little boy. Good morning. We have so much to be thankful for, especially this time of year. And sometimes I think the thankfulness gets caught up in material things in life. And really, it's so much more than that. And when Pastor Dave and Jeff asked me to come up here, what comes to mind for me is raising kids. If you've ever experienced raising kids, it's the toughest thing you could ever do. And I'll be the first to admit, I am not man enough to do what my wife does.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, she's the cook, the cleaner,
amen,
the doctor, sure, the judge, and the jury. It goes on. She's the taxi driver, the Uber driver, everything. And
that's just for you.
Yeah. But the thing that Bonnie and I have never done is we never yell at the kids and say, you wait till your father gets home and he'll straighten you out. And Bonnie and I never say, oh, you've done it now. Wait till mom sees the mess you've made. We don't do that. We're aligned with something bigger than that. And it's more of a, how would God look at this behavior? Mm-hmm. And see, like when you talk about, like, you come to church and you build your relationship with the Lord, we're here because of the kids. Truthfully, Small Wonders Preschool is why we came to MCC. And then Pastor Dave and Barbie convinced Bonnie and I to come worship one Sunday. And, you know, lo and behold, Hug and Howdy is what locked us in, meeting all the good people. But all of you are responsible for us helping to raise our kids. They're not our kids. They're the Lord's kids that He's blessed us with. Everything is His. And we have this mindset. And many of you have helped raise our kids. I mean, Bonnie and I can't even get Dominic to remember his lunchbox. Yet Mike Cornwell can get him to remember his Bible every Sunday and his offering. So, I mean, I appreciate all of you. I love the fact that we're here and we're raising our kids together. And, I'm so thankful for the fact that we can all come together and worship every week.
Thank
Amen.
You. So,
Amen.
Thank you,
thank
Patrick.
You, Patrick. I can relate to that. I grew up in this church.
Yes, you did.
Look how it turned out. Woo!
Well, Patrick, there's your reference right there of what kind of a job this church does in helping parents raise kids. Joyce, would you like to follow that?
Well, the question that they asked me is, do you remember a pivotal point in your life where you recognized that you weren't exactly who you thought you ought to be? And the first thing that, actually, there have been several pivotal points in my life, but one that really came to mind very quickly was a sermon that I heard in the old sanctuary years ago. And there were three chairs in a line, and I'm sure many of you will remember
that.
How many
of you remember that? I remember that.
It was pivotal to me. One chair was called the chair of conflict, and of course, that was someone who didn't believe, who lived for the world, who looked out of convenience. Maybe the church is a place that I can go and meet somebody. So the chair of conflict, and the one in the middle was the chair of compromise. And that's a person who believes in the Lord, but looks at it more as like a set of rules that we need to live by. And it's about what the church says and about what my church friends say. But the most important chair is the chair of commitment. That is a covenant relationship with Lord God. We are willing to die for what Jesus and God teaches us, and it's all about what God says. And I knew in my heart of hearts and in my spirit when I heard that message that I was sitting in the middle chair, the chair of compromise. And I knew that the only way that I was going to be able to move to chair number one, the chair of commitment, was to truly give my life to the Lord and to dig into the Word and to be the person that God wants me to be, not who I think someone else wants me to be. So that was my pivotal moment.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. 35+ years ago, I said to my husband, let's put some lights on the bushes outside. And
so that's funny.
I don't care who you are. Yeah.
And George Schoonover shows me unconditional love and acceptance every single day. So all he said was, how many and where do you want them? As we began enjoying working on that together, we kind of took it across the street to our neighbor who had tools that we didn't. We started with our nativity set, and through working with them, who were non-Christians, and as our kids got older, they were outside helping us, and imagination grew, and through those years, what started with love continued to outpour, but it continued to outpour back to us. Mm-hmm. Through the years of showing this love of Christmas and our love of our Lord and the season, we have been given so much in return. We have so many experiences that have been shared with us from couples, families,
Children
especially, yes. And it all just kind of came to a head this year when we were asked to, if we could get the lights ready for a special little girl and her family. And the community outpour of, what do you need? We'll be there. We'll help. Has been enormous, and it truly does take a village. And the amount of love that has outpoured to us is indescribable. And our more is love. If you can't give it away, you'll not get it back. And that's what I'd like to leave with you today.
Before you go ahead. Most all of you know what they're talking about this year with the little girl that they got the lights up early and had it on so she could see them. Because before they turned them on, which is December 1st, she was already going to be in the hospital and not able to see it later. That was kind of a fundraiser, but not an intentional stand out here with an offering plate to beg people or whatever. But in response to that, you guys raised quite a bit of money for this little girl. How much did you all raise? Can you share that?
So far, it's that night it was $2,820.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You pour out a little love and it comes back.
Thank you. You know, that's a lot to be thankful for, Pastor, right there in those three testimonies.
I suspect everyone has a testimony or is seeking one of those moments that will be, as Joyce called it, pivotal. And it seems to me the key to finding more in our lives, even in this world, but especially in our spiritual faith journey, is being able to grow from a personal relationship with the church to a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, that's those testimonies were dead on with those kind of things.
Absolutely.
And we want to thank you all for sharing today. In fact, we could just end it right here.
Yeah.
But, you know, my own personal, I have to say, Pastor David, I've been where they talked about. I've had, and, you know, Joyce said there's been a few different pivotal moments in that for her. And I can think of two big ones in my growth, in my own walk. One was when I was at Anderson University on the wall in front of the library. See, I know exactly where it was. Of course, that's the spot I always hung out with when I wanted to spend time with God. But that's there. And the other was in Virginia, sitting with in Polly and I's living room, having a discussion with our small group out there about being made for more. The first moment got derailed when I let a series of events affect me in such a way that I let my walk with God become a secondary thought. And I just got into a simple routine just to kind of check off a list and make sure I was doing the right things. The second moment in Virginia, though, has been quite a ride. Quite a ride. It led my family and I back here, and it has put many things in motion from there. The craziness of Mountain Dew Night, been in motion from there.
Yeah.
10 years of Christmas musicals and all the fun those kids have had and then the things they've done over the years. I could go on and on about the different things. And for my family and the things that has meant having my family finish growing. I know Tiana finished her growth, so to speak, here. And gone on to Baylor, and you know Noah is still learning and getting taught so much from Sunday school and junior church, and now here in the sanctuary when I can get him to stay awake for your sermons. But
now that's not funny.
I'm just kidding. But this thing is different this time. It's just different this time in the fact that I'm not letting my emotions overtake me and take me away from what's most important. I'm keeping my eye on the prize, so to speak, that the fact that there is more than this, so much more that God has in store for me and my family.
Now, Pastor Jeff, having said all of that, listening to all these testimonies, everything else, there's still one more part of all this, of our lives, to share. Sometimes life just comes to us totally unexpected. You know, out of left field, out of the blue, as we say. Sometimes it throws us a curveball, and it messes up our plans.
That's a good way to put it.
A great deal. Yeah. And sometimes it blows us away because of the enormous unexpected blessings that life can bring to us. But there's something more. And this something more is not just going to happen. It's prepared.
Mm.
It's prepared for those who love the Lord. And it is going to happen. You can count on it. Something much more. Heaven.
Mm. Amen.
Heaven is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven is prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to share this.
Okay.
As you all know, I have the greatest mother-in-law in the world. I'm truly a mother in love. She much more a mother to me than my mother. I've told you before, it's hard to make mother-in-law jokes about her, but I do. But I was thinking the other day, she's with us now for a while, has been for a while, I'm going to be for a little bit longer. And I was just, I don't know why, but, you know, you sit and things happen. And I just got thinking, you know, she's not always going to be with us. Mm-hmm. And it kind of burdened me a little bit. And then I heard the Spirit talk.
Mm-hmm. And he listened.
He said two things.
Okay.
He said, you're right. She will not be with you all the time. The day is coming when she won't be here. Mm-hmm. But he said, the day is coming when you will be with her again.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And then he said, this is that second one. He said, until then, I've given you a wife who's just like her mother. Heaven is such a prepared place that I just can't explain to anybody how much more there is to that. Now, that's something more than this life can offer us, no matter how good or how bad. And it is prepared mm-hmm. for us.
And you know, when you say all that about heaven, it makes me think of the word hope.
Yeah.
Hope
yeah.
jumps out.
I love that
in
song
we
sang today
yeah.
about
yeah.
the hope. Jesus, you are my hope.
Yeah. By the way, we didn't tell him to sing that.
No. I'll tell you who did.
Ghost stories. Yeah,
ghost stories.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
These sanctuary walls are haunted
yeah.
by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, we can hope for the place where there is no more death,
yeah.
no more pain, no more hurt. A place where no more sickness, illness, disease. I mean, imagine no more cancer, no more MS, no more Parkinson's. How about a place with no more war, no more hate, no more anger? That means there's no more racism. There's no crime. There's no more accidents. A place with no more sin and evil. And for all of you people like me, then this is true, a place of no more worry. That is hope. And I can get behind, and I am so thankful that there is something more. Something more. And when I think about that hope, I don't know if you have a particular scripture, but I have a particular scripture that comes to mind. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, that is what the scripture mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined. What God has prepared for those who love him.
Prepared.
It's right there.
Prepared
right there.
For us.
But if it was to us that God revealed these things by his
Spirit.
By his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets.
Mm. There's something more.
And we were meant for that something more than this world, we live in. Something we humans can even fully, we just can't grasp or understand.
Ecclesiastes 3:11. You all write that verse down. I just kind of pinned it on my heart.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has set eternity in our hearts. Eternity is in our hearts. He set it there. We long for it. We hope for it. That is our hope. That one of these days, all of this mm-hmm. will be gone.
Yeah.
And replaced with something more.
And our human minds can't even conceive how amazing that is going to be or what is in store for us. But if we have faith, well, you know, the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The scriptures tell us all, Pastor, through faith in God, the hope, the something more will be revealed to us by the
Holy Spirit.
I am so thankful for those truths in scripture. I'm thankful that there is so much more in store for all who believe. so much more that than I can even conceive. Hate to rhyme, but that's what it worked out. I can only imagine that what it will be like. But God, in His wisdom, has revealed some of that to us. And we can. Where can we find that information about the something more?
The revelation gives us a peek.
Yeah.
Gives us a peek. The crystal sea. You know, I've often talked about Honeymoon Beach in St. John's.
Yeah.
Most beautiful place I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
And the crystal sea is going to be better than that. Now, I cannot conceive that.
No.
If you had been on that beach with us when we went that first time, I was just overwhelmed. The crystal sea is going to be better. Now, I know I'm getting old, Pastor Jeff, because when I drive through neighborhoods, you know what I notice now?
What's that?
Doors.
I'm
not the only one. Anybody else notice doors that just pop through? That's a beautiful door. So who's that? Yeah, that's a beautiful door, man. I drive the school bus, as you know, and every day I pass Lindsay Armetta's home.
Mm-hmm.
I love your door. Kentucky Wildcat blue with white trim.
Yeah.
Beautiful glass inset. Beautiful.
You like her too, right?
Yeah, but you want to hear something else?
What's that?
Guess what the doors are going to be like in heaven.
Oh, man.
12 gates, each one of them, each gate a single pearl. Can you imagine?
No.
A pearl gate. I had to take out a loan to buy my wife a string of pearls. The gates are going to be pearl. Streets are going to be... The foundation. Each one, 12 foundations, and each one made of a different precious stone and gem. Can you imagine?
No. I'm ready to go.
People. More than you can count. Angels.
Oh.
Singing, praising. And Jesus.
Amen.
There's an old song that says, I'll see Abraham and Moses and David and Peter and Paul, but I want to see Jesus first of all. He's going to be there.
He's the one who died for me.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven when you stroll down the golden avenue. There are mansions left to right and a thrill to every side, and the saints are always smiling saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you are not idle, took time to read your Bible. It's a great, great morning for you. I had a dream that I must confess I hated to await.
He dreamt he was an angel at the great pearly gate.
St. Peter said, hello there, where have you been?
We got
your mansion ready, Dave, so come on in.
And then he raced.
I'm not going up there.
Okay.
To access his God.
I spread my wings a time or two and learned how to fly.
Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven when you stroll down the golden avenue. There are mansions left and right, and a thrill to every side, and the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle, took time to read your Bible. It's a great, great morning for you.
Amen, yeah. Oh, it's going to be a great morning.
I'm so excited. I can't believe you talked me into doing that, but you know.
Yeah, but we did. It's going to be a great day. And that's your first day in heaven. And you know the most beautiful part about it?
What's that?
Guess how long that first day will last? Forever. Now, you won't have to listen to that forever. But it's going to be a great, great day. Listen, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7 says, those who are victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children.
Amen.
There is something more. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. No, we're not going to sing that. But I hope it'll put a little tap in your step.
You know, without a doubt, I want to be in that number as well.
Absolutely.
I want everyone to be there with me. The thing is, Pastor, I've spent time wondering and thinking about what it will be like.
Oh.
And all I can say is, I hate to steal from the song, but it's true. I can only imagine.
Before you say, let me say one more thing. I cannot imagine heaven without every one of you.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to see every one of you there. And your families and your co-workers and your friends and your classmates and your neighbors. I even want to see your enemies there. But the Bible tells us there's only one way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus. We want to give you an opportunity to make that step this morning towards something more.
Yep.
Because honestly, we can only imagine.
Yeah, we can only, I can only imagine what it's going to be like to walk on the streets of gold.
Can you imagine that? No.
To see the angels, to see the saints of old, to see them for the first time.
Ooh.
The choir, the angels singing. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps. I'm just thinking about it. I'm getting goosebumps, and I'm not even hitting the tip of the iceberg of what it's going to be like. But you said it just a second ago. The thing I'm thinking about most is the moment when I see Jesus face to face. When I see him for the first time. Imagine that moment for you. Imagine that moment and what it will be like for real. What it will be like for real to be standing. I love standing next to you, but man, I can't wait to stand next to Jesus.
You think we'll sing?
After I cry? After I thank him and thank him and thank him and thank him some more.
You think we'll bow? You think? I don't know.
I don't know. I have a feeling I'm hitting my knees, but I could be wrong. But we'll see.
We want to invite you to into that imagination with us. And we want you to use that imagination of yours as an invitation, man, to come join this marching band that's heading straight to heaven. Because I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what's coming your way at work, at home, at school, anywhere, even at church. There is something more. And this year, I am so thankful there is something more. We want you to share it with us.
Let's pray before our invitation.
Father God, thank you. Sounds like so little.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. But in our human vocabulary, it's sometimes simple yet profound to say thank you. Thank you not only for the day-to-day that you go through with us. Thank you not only for the Holy Spirit that is a part of us today as we go through sometimes a routine, but help us to get beyond the routine into that something more in this life. Thank you for Jesus who willingly gave his life for us. And Father, thank you that because of Jesus, there is something more and he's prepared it for every one of us. It's up to us now, Father, to say thank you. We graciously accept this wonderful gift. We will be obedient to you in repentance of our sin, confession of Christ before men that you are the Lord. We'll be baptized in Christian baptism to wash the sin away, and we will rise to walk a new life filled with the Holy Spirit on our faith journey as it continues toward home. So this morning, Father, let your Spirit work with us as we try, but knowing that we can only imagine what that day will be like. In Jesus' name, amen.